Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from the University of Central Florida, offering their Master's of Science in Data Analytics program. Designed to enhance skills in data analysis and machine learning, the new Artificial Intelligence track offers specialized courses to deepen understanding of AI technologies and their applications. More at ce.ucf.edu/data.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage from Central Florida Public Media. For families of school-aged kids, summer is upon us. While the kids are or will soon be home, the debate over how to pay for education and the future of public schools is being amplified in Orange County neighborhoods.
If we wanted, we could start here and then kind of walk our way around and up.
Okay.
Perfect.
That sounds good.
On a Saturday morning near Orlando's Taft neighborhood, west of the International Airport, a group of about 20 volunteers fan out, carrying clipboards and campaign flyers, walking door to door.
Okay, so this is...
Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
My name is Edie. This is Anjali.
And the goal of the volunteers is clear. Knock on as many doors as possible and have conversations with people about the importance of public education and the funding for it. This canvas is organized by State Representative Anna Escamani with Orange County School Board candidate Suzanne Pena and current member Angie Gallo, who is running for school board chair.
Republican or Democrat?
Well, it's a nonpartisan race,
okay.
But they are running against Moms for Liberty candidate, which is more conservative.
And are they pro-students, pro-teachers?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Trying to increase the teacher pay and healthcare for teachers
and
employees.
And then general funding.
You cannot get a raise, 1%.
Anjali Murali is one of the volunteers out door knocking today. The recent UCF graduate says she's a proud product of public schools.
I think we don't see enough of the benefits that go into public education and really understanding that realistically, when we see students go to public education or public schools, it's helping students from all backgrounds with equity. There are some students who realistically can't afford to go to private schools or pay, you know, an exorbitant amount of money for that sort of education, but public education is just as good compared to private schools or charter schools and whatnot. And I think it's notable, and that's something that we should bring to the table so that many people understand that it's not just because it's a public school, it's not less than, right?
Anjali canvassed with Edie Berman, another volunteer whose concerns about Florida's changing education system feel personal.
I am a mom of two kids that both, one graduated from OCPS in 2017 and the other one is a senior that just finished his senior year. So I have had the full OCPS experience as a mom and very concerned about changes that I've seen over the past 22 years. That my kids, you know, my first one started at OCPS in 2004, and now it's 2026, and of course a lot of changes have happened, and very concerned about the future of all education, but public education, and since I'm a resident here, definitely OCPS.
Florida's Universal Voucher Program is paid for by taxpayers. Every year, families who apply and are approved get a minimum of $8,000 for each K-12 student to help pay for private, charter, homeschool, or other alternatives to traditional public school. Step Up for Students is the state's funding organization that distributes those school choice scholarships. Just a few years ago, the state removed income requirements for families to receive one. Orange County School Board District 1 member Angie Gallo spoke to Canvas volunteers about the costs to OCPS.
And so we're just really seeing the impact that it's having on public education, the declining enrollment and the closing of the schools. And I'll be quite honest, there's going to be more schools closing. Like, if we can't right what's been wronged, there will be more schools closing. And there's going to be a whole entity of students that will not be educated enough to be in a talented workforce. And that's my biggest concern. So we need to prioritize public education. We need everybody to be really aware, because most people aren't, that $5 billion of your taxpayer dollars are going to subsidize the wealthy to send them to private schools, because a lot of the kids that are getting those vouchers never step foot in a public school. They've been at a private school their entire life. Their parents have paid for it, and now they're getting $8,000 to subsidize their private school education. 70% of the schools that take voucher money here in Orange County are unaccredited.
District 1 member Angie Gallo is running against Orange County School Board District 3 member Alicia Ferrant to be chair of the school board. I spoke to Ferrant yesterday about public education funding and what she says should be prioritized in Florida's school systems. When people hear these terms like vouchers, scholarship, school choice, what do they mean to you?
To me, it means opportunity. It means children have the opportunity to attend and go to a school that will best fit their needs.
How do you view Florida's expansion of vouchers and school choice programs?
I think it's critical and it's necessary because it really holds everyone accountable for the education of our children. In the last how many years, everything has been focused on public education. But unfortunately, parents all over have been seeing that some schools and some of our students are not receiving the education that they were hoping for with our public schools. When I first became a board member, less than 50% of our students could read on grade level. That's a huge problem. And parents are sending their children to school for a high quality education. And while 50% of our kids are receiving something that's beneficial to them, we have kids that are really struggling. And so parents are looking for other options.
Public school advocates say that expansion of those options is pulling resources and money away from districts. And those districts still have these costs to deal with, even when students leave. How do you respond to those concerns?
As a board member and a mother of five, my number one priority is raising the level, raising the standard of excellence in our schools that attracts parents and students back into our schools. Parents are not leaving because a voucher is here. The vouchers are not the problem. The problem is the standard of excellence that has been lacking in public schools for years. And when we raise the standard and we're innovative and we think creatively, parents will see that public schools is still a great option.
To those parents who say that those private schools that get scholarship money, they don't have the same standards or the same transparency requirements as public schools. Is that a fair criticism?
There is a scripture that I think of that says, don't pluck the speck out of someone else's eye when you have a log in your own. And I think it's very hard to criticize other schools when the public schools has a lot to work on. We have incredible teachers who are doing an incredible job, great principals who are really pushing the standard and really elevating the level of excellence in our schools, but we have a long way to go.
Why not have everyone on the same standard? Why not have all schools trying to get to the same levels, public or private?
If you mean like kids are all reading on grade level or above, that they are learning phonics, that they are high achieving in math, and even learning the morals and those skills on how to treat other people, everyone should have that same high standard. How you go about that is going to be a little different depending on the school. We have the micro schools and we have homeschooling. We have private schools that some are more religion-based and some are going to be just focused on other aspects or areas of the arts. And parents really deserve that option. Our standard here is to have certified teachers in every classroom. Just because you're certified doesn't mean you're an excellent teacher and know how to help children thrive in the classroom.
The Orange County School Board voted to close 7 schools due to declining enrollment. Was expanded school choice and vouchers part of the reason?
Okay, so again, the vouchers are an avenue and it's like a tool for parents to be able to choose a different system. Parents don't choose something else when they absolutely love where they're at, when their child is thriving where they're at. But the voucher is there that helps give them that ticket into a different option that's going to help their child thrive. I do think that children leaving the system, it is a perfect storm, if you will. So we had a mix of everything. But I think when I'm out talking with voters, if parents have chosen to leave Orange County Public Schools, the vast majority of time, I'd say 90% of the time, it is because they felt that the educational standard was not at the level that they were expecting for their child. And they're also wanting an environment that has more wholesome. Sometimes they want a smaller environment. And so those are reasons why parents are leaving. I think it also would correlate with the mass importation of families from other countries who came here undocumented. And those families have chosen to go back to their countries. And that has left some gap right in our system. But we also have had schools that are running at half capacity, 60% capacity, and we cannot afford to continue to subsidize any of the loss. So we are having to consolidate, which really is closing a school and filling up the surrounding schools in the area to really make sure that we are tightening our budget. And honestly, I think the school choice is holding local school boards, holding their feet to the fire.
Alicia Ferrant is a member of the Orange County School Board. Supporters and critics of school choice often argue over whether funding should follow the student. But what does that actually mean in practice? Larry Walker is a professor at UCF who studies education policy and school funding.
So the Florida Education Finance Program, which was established in the early 1970s by the state, is especially kind of pooled money from the state and local taxes to pay for a quality education, make sure all students receive a quality education. That funding, in terms of how you determine that funding, is based on full-time equivalent FTE, which is used in pre-K through 12 systems and also as it relates to college. So that formula that they use determines, in terms of like headcount, particularly how much money should be allocated from the Florida Education Finance Program. So that's kind of a little bit of background. And so what we're seeing, if you take Orange County Public Schools and Central Florida as an example, is that they are losing or have lost a substantial number of students over the last couple of years to charter schools, and also students are taking voucher money and going on to certain private schools. So as that money has left, those schools, OCPS in particular, have had to make drastic changes in terms of staff and closing schools.
When critics say school choice takes money away from public schools, is that accurate? Like, what is actually happening financially?
We know this from an audit that came out a couple months ago, is that the voucher that the state entities, you know, keep an eye on how this money is spent has struggled. So we know that really millions of dollars is either not followed students properly or been misspent. We know that from an audit that was conducted by the state. So there have been major challenges as it relates to making sure this money is being spent the way it was meant in terms of its legislative intent.
When we're talking about transparency, in addition to funding, public schools have certain testing and reporting requirements. Can you help us understand how are the rules different for schools that get scholarship funds?
Traditional public schools have, you know, like you said, certain things they're supposed to do in terms of not only standardized testing at the state level, sometimes at a federal level, whether it's NAEP testing. And then obviously, when it comes to certain things that relates to the budget, that there are certain things in place to make sure local educational agencies or LEAs are spending the money that's the way it's supposed to be spent and being fiscally responsible. Part of what I said about the audit and the challenges that can relate to, for instance, like private schools, is that private schools kind of set their own guidelines. And listen, I'm a product of you know, parochial schools and public schools. So there may be certain ways in which they may do things differently. For instance, are they assessing students as often from an academic standpoint as traditional public schools? Do they have the same kind of physical guardrails that public schools offer? Maybe they do, maybe they don't, but they certainly don't, particularly talking about religious institutions, wouldn't face the kind of scrutiny that public schools have to face and should face as public entities.
Is there something that people need to better understand about how schools are funded in Florida that maybe they get wrong?
So I think just people would understand that the challenges the public schools are encountering is likely to continue. If you look at the trend over the last 2 years or so, then you would assume that those numbers of students who, like I said, shift away from these traditional public schools is likely to continue. The question is, what does that mean for public education?
Larry Walker is associate professor in the Department of Education Leadership in Higher Education at UCF. The tension is moving to the courts. A lawsuit filed by parents, educators, and the Florida Education Association against the Florida Department of Education says the state is failing to meet its constitutional obligation of ensuring every child has access to a uniform, high-quality, free public education system. The lawsuit says the state scholarship system lacks the same oversight and accountability standards as traditional public schools. Andrew Spahr is president of the Florida Education Association, one of the plaintiffs.
We've been saying for a while that our public schools are being disadvantaged by the current policies and laws that we have in this state. Public schools are overburdened. We're dealing with a massive teacher and staff shortage. We continue to have billions of dollars being diverted away from public schools. And now we're seeing a significant impact on schools' budgets, where districts are having to close schools, increase class size, reduce programs that they offer. And all of this is having an impact on students. And so when you see test scores starting to slide in the state of Florida, and you see all of the chaos that we're starting to see in our public schools, and we ended another legislative session without lawmakers addressing any of these issues, we really feel like we've had no alternative but to sue, because Florida is not meeting the constitutional requirement that we have of a uniform, safe, secure, high-quality system of free public schools for every student in the state of Florida.
One concern raised in the lawsuit is accountability. What's missing from the current system?
Yeah, I mean, this lawsuit is really about transparency, accountability, and fairness. And so when we see an Auditor's General's report that came out of the executive branch here in the state of Florida that criticized the lack of oversight for funds that are going out of public schools, taxpayer dollars, and going to a voucher program that isn't accounting for where those dollars are going, we should all be concerned as citizens. An example that should be concerning was that they reported $270 million of taxpayer money went to the voucher program that should never have gone there. It should have gone to the public schools where those students assigned to that money were, and the public schools lost out on that money. And the money has never been recovered from the voucher program. No one knows where it is. That should be a concern to every taxpayer in this state. But also as parents, there should be transparency, right? Public schools have to hire certified teachers. They have to inform parents if teachers are even teaching out of field. The voucher program schools are not required to hire certified teachers, not even degreed teachers. In fact, I don't even think they require someone to have a high school degree to teach as a teacher in some of these schools that are receiving voucher money. And there's no transparency there. There's no requirement to tell parents about the qualifications of teachers at the school, the type of curriculum that is used at the school, and whether that curriculum is valid in any way. And in fact, there's not even a requirement for these schools that receive this taxpayer money to even be accredited or report to parents whether or not they're accredited. So this idea of accountability and transparency is both for taxpayers and for parents. And it's also about making sure there is a level playing field and a level base set of expectations that everyone understands that education in Florida means that students are going to get a high quality education regardless of where they're getting that education.
Some supporters of school choice say that funding should follow the student. What is your response to that?
Well, funding's not following the student right now, to be honest with you. 70% of voucher dollars that were allocated from taxpayer money from our public schools that went to students already enrolled in private schools. So that was money that came out of public schools, went to students who were already enrolled and had never been in public schools, but were already enrolled in private schools. That's money coming out of schools. That's not money following students, number one. Number two, there should be a certain expectation and a certain level of standards and assurances with taxpayer money, regardless of where it goes. This idea that because the student is not enrolled in public schools means the taxpayer money just vanishes and no one knows what happens to it is never accepted in any other part of state government. Why would it be accepted when it comes to education? Again, this is about transparency, accountability, and fairness. And it just seems to make sense that there should be some minimal level of oversight and expectation applied to taxpayer-funded programs.
A supporter of school choice described this lawsuit as a threat to parental choice. Is that a valid concern?
No, this is not about going after school choice. This is about making sure there's fairness, transparency, and accountability in a system of education in the state of Florida. You know, many proponents of school choice say that we should have the ability, as you pointed out, for money to follow the student, but there has to be some level of expectations. Public schools in the state of Florida have 1,408 pages of laws that they must follow. That's laws dealing with accountability. That's laws dealing with how teachers are qualified and certified. That's accountability in terms of curriculum standards and et cetera. The private school voucher program has 19 pages of law. Charter schools have a couple of hundred pages or so of law. Homeschooling has even less. These are areas where we want to make sure that if taxpayer money is being used, that this taxpayer money has clear expectations, clear accountability, clear transparency. And we also want to make sure that these programs are not hurting public schools, which is what's happening right now.
Andrew Sparr is president of the Florida Education Association, a plaintiff in the lawsuit filed against the State Department of Education. According to Governor Ron DeSantis, more than 550,000 students use scholarships to attend schools of their choosing. Supporters of expanded school choice disagree with the lawsuit. Ron Matus is director of research and special projects with Step Up for Students.
In Florida, the money follows the student and has for decades. And the end result of that is a much better, much more diverse, dynamic, effective education system than we've ever had. I think in the country as a whole, we're seeing choice expand. And we're seeing this prior system that we had in place for 100 or 150 years start to fade away in place of a system that's driven by choice. I think that's a good thing for all kinds of reasons. And Florida is special because Florida has been in the forefront of that for 20 or 25 years. We have the most diverse and dynamic education system in the country. And I would argue, and I know this is going to sound crazy and like I've been drinking the Kool-Aid, but I would argue we have the most diverse and dynamic education system in this country perhaps ever. That is how remarkable what's happening in Florida right now is. And a big reason for that is choice. We have decided that giving parents options will lead to better outcomes on top of all the other reasons why it makes sense to give that power to parents. And the end result has been so far really good.
Parents and educators who filed this lawsuit, Florida Education Association, argue Florida's creating a publicly funded parallel school system with less oversight than traditional public schools. How do you respond to that?
Well, first off, I would say, you know, this is a tiny minority of folks who oppose choice, and they are so at odds with the vast majority of Floridians, particularly parents, who totally embrace choice. As choice has expanded and more people have come to see what it actually is in concrete terms rather than abstractions, they like it. They love it. And that is why you see so much demand, because parents really do see that it makes sense for them to be driving quality with the options that they choose. I don't see a two-tiered system. I see a system that's increasingly driven by what parents want. And that is the direction this state moved in. You know, for years and years, decades and decades, generations after generation, we had this system where we determined more and more regulations will lead to better quality, right? That somebody decided if schools do X, Y, and Z, they will become better. That didn't really work. And so what we have moved to is a system where we're giving parents the power to drive quality based on their vision, their values, and their better judgment. It's a different way of doing accountability, and I think a better way. And I think the evidence so far, and again, we're like 20, 25, 30 years into this thing, the evidence so far is pretty compelling that that approach, giving parents the power to drive quality, leads to a better system, a more diverse, dynamic, and effective system with better outcomes than that other system that was so heavy on regulations.
Public schools do have certain testing, reporting, transparency requirements. Why shouldn't schools that receive scholarships or vouchers have the same standards?
To be clear, there are certainly some requirements on private schools, a lot more requirements on charter schools. So it's not the Wild West. I mean, sometimes you'll hear things like, oh, there's no accountability whatsoever, meaning in their vision, regulations. There are plenty of regulations on private schools and certainly even more on charter schools. But you have to think about it based on the model. In the system that we're going to, and right now we do have kind of a split screen, right? I mean, we have the traditional system, which is about half the kids are in the old traditional system. And then we have the new system driven by choice, and about half of them are in there. The system that's driven by choice is based on an approach to accountability that focuses on parents. It gives parents the power to drive quality and exercise accountability. So I think the lawsuit has it exactly backwards. You don't want to force the choice side of the equation to abide by all the regulations that the traditional public schools have. You want to lessen the regulations on traditional public schools and replace that with more accountability driven by parents.
Is there anything else you would add to the safeguards and the accountability standards in place in these schools for people listening who maybe aren't as familiar with these charter schools?
I mean, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I would say that, you know, all this is a work in progress. There are all kinds of fair-minded debates to have. I mean, there's a lot of nuance with all of this stuff, and always has been. I mean, public education is a complicated, messy endeavor with a lot of different competing interests and viewpoints. I mean, it is a complicated thing. So I do think there's fair debates about, well, where should the lines be drawn? Should there be additional safeguards here or there? Should there be less? You know, should we actually take some of the safeguards off and go to a system that's even freer or more driven by parents?
What would you like people to better understand about how schools are funded in Florida and where education is heading in this state?
Well, I would like them to know even more if they don't already realize it. And people are busy, they're going about their lives, so I don't know if they get into the weeds of the details like we do. But I think they should know, so they can appreciate even more, that the money follows the child. And in Florida, we have more and more over the span of 30 years given more power to parents to direct that money as they see fit. To a great extent in Florida, we have looked at parents and told them, and not just parents, but parents, educators, communities, we trust you. If you want to be a part of the current system, that's great. You are going to do everything we can to make that traditional system better, using the levers that we've always used to try to make it better. But if you want something different, for whatever reason, and there could be a million different reasons why somebody thinks they need or want something different for their child and their family, Florida's opened the door to that. And so the money follows the child. Every parent should know that. And frankly, every parent should know about this lawsuit because that's what's at stake. This incredibly popular reform that Florida has undertaken in a bold and thoughtful way going over three decades now is now, you know, in jeopardy because of this lawsuit. I'm not a legal scholar, so I don't want to opine on, like, you know, what kind of chances it has, but it's an existential threat. It's a serious threat, and parents should know about that because their ability to have the money follow the child and have the school that they want for their kid is suddenly now in jeopardy because of this lawsuit.
Ron Matus is Director of Research and Special Projects with Step Up for Students. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.